ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you hit a rash of injuries, those are the things that we should and must be able to count on. And hit that with the staff today, and that's disappointing to us. So our focus needs to be sharper. That's the bare minimum. And we're going to dig in to find out how we improve upon that. So that is our focus, the focus itself, to make sure, like, eliminate things if we need to be sharper and cleaner of how we play. But one thing I do know, we'll also make the choice to absolutely go for it. Not going to be easy, but we're not staying in this space either, you guys. So our identity has not come together. And these next four games until our bye, we got a lot of work to do to help create that. But the inconsistency is the thing that, man, we're gonna hammer this out. And we're going to get there, but it's frustrating. And that's where we're at today. So lots to work on. I told the team we had – last night, 8 days to our next game, we got a lot of work to do. So that's where I'm at, and I'll get started with you guys.
That was his open to his Monday day after press conference. That was the coach, of course, Dan Quinn. He said early in that soundbite, he just said, we're off course. He talked about how Navy SEAL friends of his, sometimes they're diving or they're sailing with no GPS, no landmarks. And he said, you know, you need to know where you are, where you're going, and what bearings you're in need of. And just two or three degrees off, and you're off course. And he told the team yesterday, that's where we are right now. We're off course. And you heard the rest of it after that. Good morning, everybody. I actually really like Dan Quinn a lot. I will tell you this, though. You know, he does his press conferences in a very unique way. Most coaches don't get up with a theme to every press conference. He does. He comes in, he has some opening remarks, and there's usually, you know, some sort of lesson or theme or what he and the team are talking about, you know, on that particular day or the day before. Most coaches come in and say, Harry Blappentap has a broken ankle and Billy Johnson's got, you know, a hamstring. I'll take questions. You know, they'll give you the injuries, and then they'll just say, take questions. It's not what the coach does. I appreciate that. He takes these opportunities to get the message out to the fan base through the local beat media that covers the team every day and works very hard to do it. He takes that opportunity to deliver a message every day. He did it in Dallas. He did it in Atlanta. I watched some of his press conferences when they hired him, and he started as the defensive coordinator in Dallas every press conference with a story or a theme or some sort of life lesson. And so that's what we got yesterday. We are off course right now, and we got to get back on course. At 3-4, they're off course. And defensively, they are way off course. And yesterday, as part of the early portion of the press conference, he did and was asked about the injuries, and he gave updates. And the good news on Jaden Daniels is that he had an MRI on his hamstring, and it's not a significant injury. It's not going to knock him out. Now, it might be a game on Monday night. We'll find out. By the way, this is a Monday night game coming up, which means that we don't have to hear from Quinn again until Thursday. His obligation is Thursday instead of Wednesday, and that's when we'll get an update on Jaden Daniels. I have no idea. I don't really have a lean one way or the other as to whether or not he'll be ready to play on Monday night against the Chiefs. But the news was good on Jaden. The news was bad on Dorrance Armstrong. He is done for the year with a torn ACL. That is devastating injury news for this team and for a defense that already is dreadful and needs every good player they can get if there's going to be any sort of hope for a turnaround. Dorrance Armstrong, you could easily make the case, has been their best defensive player this year. Oh, Sheehan, like, who cares? I mean, you know, with him they stink, without him they'll stink. Yeah, you could stink even more on defense. And they got, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff and the Lions in Seattle who can really do it. Jackson Smith and the Jigba right now, top five receiver in the game. After watching last night, that game, by the way, the smell test finally cratered. Now, it was a 500 weekend, 5-5-1. 0-4, though, on the NFL. Had Houston last night. God, there were so many chances, Max. I don't know if you, I bet nobody stayed up to watch this game. But they had so many chances to cover at the end of the game. They were down first and goal at the one and came away with nothing. They had so many opportunities, but they didn't get it. You know, they didn't get there. And 0-4 on the NFL, 5-5-1 weekend. Still don't have a losing weekend record-wise on this season so far, but kind of came back to the pack a little bit with a 500 weekend. Yes, I understand 500 is losing money. Okay, I've done this before. I understand that you don't, you know, bet 100 and lose 100. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, when you bet 100 or you bet more than that, you lose typically 10% of your, you add 10% on top of that. That's usually what the losing number is. So if you bet 100 and win, you win 100. If you bet 100 and lose, you lose 110 bucks. That's called the VIG, the juice. That's how books make money. There are other ways, but that's how they make money. They charge you a fee. It's called the Vigorish, or it was way back in the day. The game was really impressive from a Seattle standpoint. That's the opponent for Washington a week from this coming Sunday night. They'll break out the old uniforms. I'm very much looking forward to that. Yes, I am. But Jackson Smith and the Jigba, 8 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. He is, it's, Max, am I exaggerating? Top five receiver right now in the game.
No,
he may be the toughest cover.
Bro, I said it during buy and sell last week that, like, he's potential MVP offensive player of the year if Puka goes down, and he's proved it every week. I was really, there were a lot of questions with Seattle losing DK and Lockett. Like, can JSN make that step into wide receiver one? And he has silenced every doubter in the room.
There's still something about Darnold. I'm getting sidetracked here, but I did watch that whole game last night. Watch the baseball, watch the Tampa-Detroit game too. Darnold still will make some of the dumbest plays. I mean, he had ample opportunity in the third quarter from his own end zone to unload the football, and he took a sack, fumbled, touchdown Houston. He threw a pick late in the game. They're up, you know, by 15. There's no, he just, look, he can spin it. There's never been a question about whether or not Sam Darnold can spin it, and he's got a quick release. He just sometimes, when he doesn't see it, it ends up being the worst play possible. You know, even last year in Minnesota, he had great games, and then there would be a game, including that season finale against Detroit or the playoff game against the Rams, where it's like, yeah, he's just not, he doesn't have clarity today on what they're doing defensively. And instead of, you know, throwing the ball away or checking to runs, He just makes some dumb plays occasionally, but they look good, man, to me. They look really good on defense. Houston, by the way, is really good on defense. They just, it was kind of an ugly game, but yeah, I was up until 1:20 watching that, trying to get the backdoor cover at the end. Stupid penalty on a third down stop late, gave Seattle a first down. They took three knees and ended it. Back to Dorrance Armstrong. This is the biggest issue right now with this football team. This is a bigger issue than the wide receiver problem. Obviously, because it looks like Terry is coming back. I think he might be back Monday night. I'm hearing that there's a pretty good chance Terry's going to play Monday night. We'll see as the week goes on. There was no update from Quinn on that. In fact, I don't even think he was asked about Terry or Debo in the press conference yesterday. He was also not asked about Joe Witt Jr., although he did give John Keim an answer to, you know, remember the night before when he said, we're going to look at everything. Keim, by the way, will be with us this morning at 11 a.m. But there is no doubt in my mind that their biggest issue right now is defensive end. People, they have lost their two starting defensive ends, Dietrich Wise and now Dorrance Armstrong. Dorrance Armstrong, easily, you could say, best defensive player on the team this year so far. They lost Javonte John-Baptiste, their backup defensive end. Right now, on Monday night, they're going to go out there with Jacob Martin and Preston Smith as their starting defensive ends. Von Miller didn't sign here to play 40 snaps as a defensive end on first down. He's specialty. Preston Smith was supposed to be kind of the same thing. Now, they cut over the weekend to make room for Cosme, the kid Jalen Holmes. I would imagine if they haven't done it already, we're going to get news on that, that they're going to try to re-sign Jalen Holmes. They have to. They don't have any defensive ends on the team. They don't have one edge-setting, run-stopping defensive end on the team right now. Not one. Jacob Martin's not that. Martin has done a nice job as a pass rusher, not against the run. This is a much bigger issue than receiver because the receivers are coming back. These guys are done. I feel awful for Dorrance Armstrong. What a season he was having on a bad defense. I get it. Terrible defensive football team, no doubt. But he was a bright light on that bad defense. And now you're going to trot out against the Kansas City Chiefs, Preston Smith, and Jacob Martin. You can't ask Von Miller to line it up on every snap. They'll be making moves. There is no doubt about that. Look, injuries, you know, I always get a kick out of the people that, you know, want to go full Doc. And nobody loves my guy Doc Walker more than I do. But go full Doc and do the next man up. And it doesn't mean that next man up is exclusive from they've been hit by the injury bug and that is impacting their season. Both things are true. You have to, if you're in the locker room and in that building, say, we got to find answers. You're not wallowing in it. You're creating and coming up with solutions. That's what competitors do. From our standpoint, from a fan standpoint, we can look at the big picture and say, yeah, they've been hit big time by the injury bug. There is no doubt about it. Dietrich Wise, starter, done for the year. Will Harris, starter, done for the year. Dorrance Armstrong, starter, done for the year. Javonte John-Baptiste, backup defensive end, injured, done for the year. On offense, we know what they've been going through, obviously. Austin Eckler, done for the year. You know, the receiver room has been a disaster. I can't even think of all the injuries right now that they've had. And it's been impactful. They are a reality. They are probably, injuries are probably the number two determining factor in a game and in a season. If you don't think that that's worthwhile to at least acknowledge, you haven't been a football fan and haven't watched this league. This league is a league of attrition. The healthier teams end up being the winningest teams in a given season. Sure, there are examples like the 49ers right now of overcoming a lot of injuries. They're 5-2. And of course, Washington's going to have that opportunity. But it's number two on the list behind quarterback. Number two. In terms of a determinant on seasons and on games, injuries, quarterback one, injuries two, and then you probably go, you know, O-line, D-line, pass rusher, etc. Washington's been hit bad by the injury bug. And the receiver situation isn't great, but I think it can get better. The defensive end situation on a defense that, you know, can't cover, can't stop the run, and they make up for it by being horrible at tackling, it's a problem to lose Dorrance Armstrong, the one of the only really good, consistent performers this season. Feel badly for him, man. He had a great end of season last year, and he was having a season this year, leading the team in sacks with 5.5, leading the team in TFLs, tackles for loss, with 7. He's 28 years old. He'll, you know, they'll have an opportunity with him next year, but a big loss in the defensive end situation, especially given how they've been run over by DeAndre Swift and then by Javonte Williams on Sunday. This is going to be a concern. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco is probably thinking, I might be able to go for a buck 80 on Monday night against this defense. And then, you know, if they load the box and they start doing some things to try to take the run away, oh boy, coverage, secondary, big problem. I did want to just circle back real quickly on something, and I'll get it out of the way pretty quickly. Where's this email that I had from my guy, Rick? There were a couple of calls and a couple of emails yesterday and tweets from people saying, well, here it is. Rick summed it up for several of you. I'm going to say several of you because I don't think it's anywhere near a lot of you. Rick wrote, Kevin, I'm a huge fan of Jaden, just like you. But I think Mariota played very well off the bench today. He obviously sent this to me Sunday night. And has already proven that there's very little difference between in the offense between him and Jaden. So if he has to start a few more games, that's fine. And I appreciate the idea of it's fine if Marcus Mariota has to start games. I don't disagree with you. I think it's a great backup quarterback situation that we have on this team. Marcus Mariota, first of all, is a hell of a person, total class act, totally, you know, acknowledges, recognizes, and embraces his role as, you know, a senior statesman in the quarterback room, as a mentor, and as a backup. You know, he's not looking for, at least now, a starting opportunity anymore. I think he has come to grips with knowing who he is, what he is, and how he can be super effective. By the way, at his age, he could do this for several more years with Jaden Daniels in Washington as the backup. There's no reason that this quarterback room needs to change. Maybe Mariota gets an opportunity. There are always opportunities. But I don't know that there would have been any last year. And it's got to be the right fit for him, you know, stylistically, offense-wise. And this is the perfect fit for him. He is a true dual-threat quarterback and looks great as a dual-threat quarterback. I mean, he looks, like I said yesterday, on those zone reads, he looks like the Oregon Heisman Trophy-winning Marcus Mariota. I'm a fan of Marcus Mariota. And if they have to trot him out there on Monday night, I feel good that it's going to be a professional effort. But all due respect to those of you who think he played well on Sunday, I don't know what game you were watching. I said this yesterday to a caller, I think, who brought it up. I mean, he had a couple of good runs on those zone reads, excellent runs, and that was it. Maybe a throw or two. He had the lowest, for whatever it's worth, okay, and I'm with most of you on this. PFF is a tool, Pro Football Focus. It is a tool. It's not the end-all be-all. But Pro Football Focus had him as the lowest-rated offensive player in the game, 21 snaps. His QBR in the game was 7.4. That ain't good. So I don't know what you were watching, Rick, and some of the others that looked at Marcus Mariota on Sunday and said, that looked good. That looked really good. No, it wasn't good. But in his defense, he had the same limitations that Jaden had at wide receiver. When he came into the game, it was 34-15, basically game over. Okay, so it wasn't an ideal situation for him to come into. I'm not killing him because he didn't play well. I'm just completely mystified as to why anybody would watch that game and say, we're fine with Mariota. We're good. No, we need five. You know what's interesting? After I went back and watched the game yesterday, and I watched the All 22, painful, by the way. And I'm going to pick apart one specific play on the show today, the 74-yard touchdown pass to CeeDee Lamb. Because one of the things, and I'll just get this out of the way, there was actually some decent coverage in the game. Amos had a couple of decent coverages. Lattimore had a couple of decent coverages. He did. The pass at the end of the first half to Pickens, I don't know how you cover that any better than Lattimore did. But one of the things that I, you know, really saw, and I said this yesterday on the show, we have seen a lot of games now, you know, with Cliff Kingsbury, Jaden Daniels, this offense. 20 last year, and what do we have now? 5 this year, right? He has started 5 of the games. Giant game, Green Bay game. 4. He started 4 of the games, right? Mariota started the Raiders game, the Falcons game.
That's it.
That he just started 2. So Jaden started 5 games this year.
Yes.
Yeah, and Mariota and Jaden played a half game against, yeah. So Giants, Packers, Chargers, Bears, right, Cowboys. My fault. We've seen a lot of those games where, you know, didn't look great, up and down, roller coaster first half, only to really find their stride and hit their rhythm in the second half and unload on somebody. I honestly believe, after watching, you know, the game, I think they were on the verge of having a really good half offensively. I don't know that it would have been good enough because they couldn't stop Dallas. It's kind of like the, you know, the Philadelphia NFC title game. I'm just bringing up one example of the offense actually didn't play badly in that game. The turnovers obviously killed them, and the mistakes. And the mistakes in this game killed the opportunities they had on offense, too. Too many penalties, too many drop passes, and then ultimately 2 turnovers. But they had, you know, roared down the field at the end of the first half for a touchdown to make it 20-15. More on that drive coming up when I get to sort of an upon further review segment today. And then they're on the move, you know, in the third quarter. Down 27-15. Would have been nice if it was 20-15 or 23-15. But they're in the midst of, you know, a 6-7 play drive. Jaden on that 3rd-and-2, you know, had got to the sideline, stretched the ball out, moved the sticks. They did try to run the football a little bit, you know, with Kroski Merritt, and he got stoned on first down. They actually ran it on 2 first downs on that drive. And then, you know, it's a 3rd-and-10, and Jaden does Jaden stuff. You know, pressure, extends, and then throws to Chris Moore for 15 yards to move the sticks there at the Dallas 39-yard line. Next play was the free runner, the sack, the fumble, done. Ball game. At that point, it felt like ball game. 27-15. You knew it was going to be 34-15 or 30-15, given the field position that Dallas had. But they were on the move there, and I think I tweeted at halftime, they're going to need 24 minimum in the second half to have an opportunity. And I think they may have been headed towards that kind of second half. You know, they had, in the first half, they did have 15 points, which in 214 yards, you know, through 30 minutes, that would extrapolate out to 30 points and 428 yards of offense for a team that was a bit disjointed, and I agree with that. And after watching the game again, they were just out of sync. You know, everything was a little bit out of sync. And I will guarantee you that behind closed doors, without using it as an excuse, they would tell you it was a bit rough at wide receiver. The guy that ended up leading our team in catches, Robbie Chosen, you know, has gotten 10 total reps since he arrived here, or whatever the total number of reps he's probably gotten. It's probably been minimal. And then, you know, you're facing a team that recognizes that they can actually play man for the first time this year because the receiving threat isn't a big threat. Yeah, this was a game in which they missed not having at least one of the two, Debo or Terry. Having both of them out, we now know, is problematic. But problematic means a little bit disjointed, a little bit out of sync, but 15 points and 215 yards in 30 minutes, and on the move with a chance to cut it to 27-22 in the third quarter. So I do think that there was some good out of the offense, just out of sync, but it wasn't a terrible outing. They just self-inflicted mistakes, penalties, drop passes, and then the turnovers came in the second half. By the way, on that sack, I don't know who would get the blame for it, but there's a free runner. It could have been on Jaden to not identify it pre-snap. It could have been. Let's get to a what do you got. So I've been meaning to get to this. We are going to go kind of around the rest of the NFL from the weekend because we did not have a chance to do that on the show yesterday. And we're going to give you guys a chance again to weigh in with calls on the show today because we didn't get to all of you yesterday. But did you see what Kansas City did to the Las Vegas Raiders? I've never in all of my years of being an NFL fan, I've never seen a box score like this, ever. You see this in college a lot, you know, in totally lopsided games. Not in the NFL. So the Chiefs beat the Raiders 31-0. Let me start with this. Here are the Chiefs' first four drives of the game offensively. 9 plays, 92 yards, touchdown. The drive took 5 minutes and 46 seconds. To accomplish the touchdown at the end. 17 plays, 84 yards, 8 minutes and 40 seconds of elapsed time was their next drive, their second drive of the game that ended up in also a touchdown for a 14-0 lead. And then their last drive of the first half was 16 plays, 94 yards, 6 minutes and 22 seconds. It also ended in a touchdown and a 21-0 lead. The Chiefs had the ball 3 times in the first half. They ran a total of 42 plays, and they had 21 points, 3 touchdowns, and a 21-0 lead. They opened up the second half with an 11-play, 65-yard touchdown drive that took 6 minutes as they built a 28-0 lead. And then on their fifth drive of the game, late in the third quarter, 9 plays, 66 yards, eating up 4 minutes and 26 seconds. They had to kick a field goal. They didn't get a touchdown. Mahomes actually threw incomplete on third down, and they had to kick a field goal for a 31-0 lead. Here's the box score. I've never seen anything like this. First down totals. The Chiefs had 30 in the game, 30 first downs. The Raiders had 3. The Chiefs ran 77 offensive plays in the game. The Raiders ran 30. 30. 3-0. That's it. In an NFL game, they ran 30 plays. Like, what? Something in the 40s is super low for an NFL game. 30 is unheard of. The Raiders were 0 for 7 on third downs, 0 for 1 on fourth downs. So their 3 first downs in the game, Chiefs had 30, the Raiders had 3, came via penalty and 2 throws from Geno Smith. The time of possession advantage for Kansas City, they held the ball for 42 minutes and 8 seconds. The Raiders had it for 17 minutes and 52 seconds. Geno Smith was 10 of 16 for 67 yards, then took a seat. He had a 7.7 QBR. Not good. Kenny Pickett came in and completed 2 passes on 2 attempts for 8 yards. But that's okay because they could run the ball, Kevin, right? No. 11 carries for 25 yards in the game. The final yardage number, 434 for the Chiefs, 95 yards for the Raiders. And understand this, the fourth quarter, the Chiefs just ran the ball and punted. That's what they did. They just ran the clock out. And by the way, the Raiders did the same thing. It was one of those situations, for those of you who, you know, participate somehow in youth sports, you know the game in which, you know, one team, a basketball game, one team's leading 42-6 in the second half, and they decide to go to a running clock. You know, what is a running clock? That means during free throws, it's running, out of bounds, it's running. It's just a running clock. The only way to stop it would be with a timeout. And that is to make the game go quickly so that you don't get beat 88-6. The final score will be something like 52-8 or something like that. That's almost probably what they were thinking about doing. Pete Carroll may have asked for it. Can we go to a running clock here in the second half? The Chiefs, Washington's Monday night opponent, beat an NFL team worse than I think you can ever beat an NFL team. Not score-wise, but statistically. By the way, score-wise, they could have named their score because they didn't even try late third quarter and fourth quarter to score. But you're catching the Chiefs coming into this game Monday night off of the most one-sided dominating performance of the season. The Raiders, by the way, are bad. And remember, we beat them with Marcus Mariota 41-24. They are a horrendous football team this year. Pete Carroll's got a long way to go. Chip Kelly, not very impressive as an NFL offensive coordinator. Just really never has been. He's a college guy, man. Stay in college. But they have now won two in a row, four of their last five, the Chiefs have, with the one loss being that Monday night loss to Jacksonville when Trevor Lawrence, you know, got tripped and somehow got up and ran in for a touchdown. Tough game Monday night, no doubt. The line is 10.5. 10.5. All right. I've got some upon further review stuff that I want to get to. I want to focus in on one play, and I want to focus in on the end of half situation, which was actually a little bit less egregious a day later, for me anyway. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. You can watch the show on the Team 980's YouTube channel. When you get there, hit the subscribe button and hit the like button. That helps us out a lot.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if it was worse than I thought, but I was. I thought the game really took a turn. You know, at the end of the half, we scored a touchdown to go, and then coming back to allow a touchdown at the end of the half. That was the hardest part. I sensed that going in, but that was the spot that left the biggest mark for me. you know, the ball security of, you know, having a fumble and then the interception, obviously, that they ran back for a score, not creating those, you know, in that spot. Those were a couple of things that stood out to me, Tom.
Yeah, he was asked if anything the day before, I think he was asked by Tom Shad from the Washington Post, if anything from the day before after watching the game on film, if anything was worse. And he focused in on the end of the first half. And I want to start there with just sort of kind of, you know, upon further review, because I was tough on them yesterday. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to let them off the hook because there still was an error made. I think an error, although perhaps it wasn't. But it's actually interesting because there was a lot of conversation with, like, Brady, you know, on the broadcast. What are they doing? They're scoring too quickly. They have to bleed the clock. They can't leave Dallas with more time. You know, they've got a chance to kind of double dip, score at the end of the first half, get the ball to start the second half, and all of a sudden, you know, they've got the lead, you know, potentially, if they can get a touchdown to end the first half and a touchdown to start the third quarter. It would have been 20-15 if they bleed the clock, get the ball to start the third quarter, and all of a sudden, they've got the lead in the game. Well, they didn't bleed the clock in part because there was only one play. In a play in which they took 8 snaps where the clock was running. That's so they snapped the ball 8 times, and on 7 of the 8 plays, the play ended with the clock stopped because of an incompletion, because of a penalty, or because of a play that ended out of bounds. Now, I guess you could say, well, stay in bounds. I mean, this isn't the end of the game. I mean, 2 of the out-of-bounds plays were Jaden scrambling. Do you want him to, you know, slide and potentially take a hit in traffic, or do you want him to get out of bounds and not get hit? I'd prefer the latter. There was the incredible run by McNichols, the 19-yard run where he breaks 2 tackles. He's kind of stumbling, but he regains his balance, and he's actually going to try to score, and he ends up going out of bounds at the 1-yard line. So, you know, I was kind of, Brady was very adamant. What are you doing? Well, the clock stopped, Tom. The play went out of bounds. The clock doesn't run on a play that goes out of bounds. On an incompletion, the clock doesn't run on an incompletion. On a penalty in the final 2 minutes of the half, final 5 minutes of the game, the clock stops. So they didn't have opportunities to bleed the clock. They started the drive at the end of the first half. Minute 56 left, their own 32-yard line, down 20-15, and McNichols catches a pass out of bounds. Jaden scrambles for 14, out of bounds. Jaden throws incomplete, clock stops again. The next one was the deep shot to Robbie Chosen after the offsides, and they took the free shot, Jaden did, to go deep. Should have been defensive pass interference. Actually, in hindsight, kind of would have been better had they called that and Washington had scored with a lot more time left on the clock. Then after Dallas's score, Washington would have gotten another possession with some time left. But anyway, that stopped the clock. Jaden then scrambled for another 5 yards. There was also an illegal contact penalty on the play. That stopped the clock. Then here was the one opportunity to run the clock. A minute 22 to go. They're at the Dallas 27-yard line, 1st and 10. And he throws over the middle to Jalen Lane. By the way, one important thing I didn't mention. Even with the clock stopped, they were going up-tempo. They were going hurry-up. And I said this yesterday. If they didn't bleed the clock with opportunities to bleed the clock, and they said, yeah, we understood that, but we felt our best opportunity to score a touchdown was to go up tempo and to go hurry up because we were gassing them defensively. They were exhausted. We kept the personnel on the field we wanted to see. I would understand that answer. 100% understand. Yeah, you're going to give up too much time to Dak and company with your defense on the field after you score here, if you score here. But if you think that's the best way to score, then you got to do that. So they were going up-tempo and hurry up even with the clock stopped. But on the throw to Jalen Lane over the middle, got down to the Cowboy 20-yard line, they went hurry up again, and they snapped the ball with 21 seconds left on the play clock. So that's the opportunity right there. That was the opportunity, if they wanted to bleed some clock. You know, the play ends at a minute 17, and they snap it with 21 seconds left on the play clock going hurry up. And the next play was that big run by McNichols down to the one-yard line, and he got knocked out of bounds to stop the clock. The next play was the touchdown. That also stopped the clock. When Jaden got the bad snap, decided not to give it to McNichols, thankfully, to Krosky Merritt, and he kept it himself, and he scored. So there was one play on that final drive, just one, where they had a chance to bleed the clock. Unless you think they should have been, Jaden should have been sliding down inbounds. Dallas also had two timeouts left. Now, would they have used the timeout when Jalen Lane caught the ball over the middle? Well, they didn't right when the play ended, and they saw Washington going quickly. Washington could have gotten to the line of scrimmage and could have taken, you know, the last 20 seconds off that clock, 21 seconds off the clock, and snapped it. And I don't think Dallas would have used a timeout because I think they thought they were getting, you know, up-tempoed. And if you take those 21 seconds and apply it to Dallas's drive after Washington kicks off, there would have been 19 seconds for them, first and 10 from their own 28, instead of 40. Would 19 seconds have been enough time for them to get a touchdown? Well, it didn't take them much time anyway. They had a 30-second drive, okay? 35 in total if you count the kickoff return. They literally took it from 40 seconds down to 10 seconds, 45 on the kickoff. You know, and it was, you know, an easy, ridiculous drive for a touchdown. Although I will tell you that the 44-yard pass to Pickens, that may have been Lattimore's best coverage of the day. That is the perfect throw into, you know, literally dropping it into a small bucket, Dak Prescott to Pickens. But then the next play was the Javonte Williams run for 33 yards, and it's like, you know, they're in the end zone and it's 27-15. Now, if they had bled those 21 seconds, that was the opportunity. So it wasn't like this massive, oh my God, they're snapping it with 20 seconds left on the play clock and the clock's running. No, there was just one opportunity with the clock running. So I take them off the hook a little bit. And I think they would also tell you that they felt like they had a huge advantage. You know, that run by McNichols on the next play when they snapped it with 21 seconds left on the play clock. Dallas's defense was tired, and that's why he broke two tackles and was able to get down to the one-yard line. You know, so that would be part of their answer, I'm sure. But, you know, from a pure clock management situation, context of the game, which is you got a chance here to double dip. You got a chance to score, then get the ball to start the second half, score again without them really having an opportunity in between. That was the opportunity. Now, with 19 seconds left, had they bled the one play that ended up in bounds with the clock running, Dallas still would have gotten into field goal range. I mean, they only have to get to the 50-yard line for Brandon Aubrey to come out for, you know, we may have seen a record kick. They were going to get into field goal range, and it was going to be 23-15 at halftime, but that's better than 27-15 at halftime. But 19 seconds, you know, even with our defense, which is pretty brutal, that would have been a hard ask to go 72 yards in 19 seconds for a touchdown. The other issue is just the way they played that last defensive possession. Man, it should have been, we know they're going to get three, we just can't give them seven. And they didn't play it that way. I have one more kind of upon further review I want to talk about, and I'll do that when we come back. But the 74-yard touchdown pass to C.D. Lamb was really one of those plays that you really need somebody from there to explain it to you. But, man, they have some weird stuff going on in their coverage. That's for sure. I'll get to that next. John Keim will join us at 11.
All right. Happy Tuesday, everybody. We start off with the MLB in the postseason with Game 7. The Mariners and the Blue Jays locked in a tight one last night with the Mariners leading 3-1 in the sixth inning. Then right-handed relief pitcher Brian Wu walked the first batter, gives up a single to put two runners on base, and playoff hero George Springer stepped up to the plate and crushed one, no doubt, to deep left center field. to give life to the Blue Jays, and they lift themselves over the Mariners by a score of 4-3. To Monday Night Football last night, the Detroit Lions got a win over the Tampa Bay Bucks by a score of 24-9. Jahmyr Gibbs with a banner night, 218 yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns. Then the Seattle Seahawks, they beat the Houston Texans 27-19 in a wire-to-wire victory. Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Jaxon Smith-Njigba with the performance of the night in this one with eight receptions, 123 yards, and a touchdown. To hockey, the Caps get underway tonight against the Seattle Kraken at home. Puck drop at 7 p.m. Pregame on 106.7 The Fan will be 6:30 after Grant and Danny. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's Office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
So there was a big play in the game early in the game, a first quarter, by the way, that just lasted forever on Sunday. Dallas had four offensive possessions in the first half. Washington also had four. That's crazy to have that many possessions in the first quarter of a game. I think I mentioned this on yesterday's show. The 15 combined possessions, Dallas had eight, Washington had seven. Technically, Washington had an eighth, but they knelt down on their final drive with, by the way, 10 seconds to go from their own 35-yard line. From their own 35, maybe their own 25, something like that. Whatever. There was 10 seconds left, and they knelt down and half-ended. But after Washington went, after the safety and the touchdown drive that followed that gave him an 8-7 lead, the next drive was one of those drives that, basically was derailed by a drop pass. Ertz just dropped one on the sideline for what would have been a 7-yard play and would have set up an easy or a very makeable third down. Dallas takes over after, one of those booming, punts. 56-yard punt by Tressway. God, he's good still. He's still really good. And their punt coverage is excellent. And Kavata and Turpin's, nailed, and it's like a 52-yard net flipping of the field. Great job by the special teams. And so Dallas lines up first and 10 from their own 26, and we get the bomb to CeeDee Lamb. We see Quan Martin and Marshon Lattimore do their, weekly ritual of running into each other. And, CeeDee Lamb basically jogs into the end zone for a 17-8 lead. So this is one of those plays, man, that, God, I can't imagine they're not pulling their hair out. Now, I could be totally wrong, per usual, heading into one of these kind of discussions. But Washington plays some weird coverages. They play a lot of this cover three that looks weird, that the spacing and the number of players in the same area sometimes just looks off. This is why I think some of this is scheme. Some of this is, you know, coaching. And I'm sure a lot of it is personnel and execution as well. Okay, I am convinced that it's a lot of everything going on here. But Darnell Savage, who actually played pretty well last week, I think is the culprit here. They basically do their inverted cover two. They run a lot of that, where they basically show something and they drop into cover two, or they show cover two and they drop into something else. And you got Wagner running in the middle of the field, which is typically, you know, some cover two stuff where you get the linebacker dropping and then you get that big hole. You guys know what cover two looks like. If you're not running the football against cover two, you're throwing it down the middle of the field, typically over the linebacker's head and in front of the two, you know, deep safeties. Wagner, by the way, bless his heart, can't run anymore. Just can't run. They're going to have to look at that as a major liability. And at the same time, you know, they're probably like, you don't get it, man. If he's not out on the field, you have no idea how much worse it would be in terms of he's our highest IQ guy by miles. He's the coach on the field. And oh, by the way, he's still a hell of a tackler in the box and a run stopper in the box. And not bad as a pass rusher occasionally. This play, though, is like CeeDee Lamb is running down the middle of the field and Darnell Savage, I think, was supposed to have him, but doesn't. And figures it out too late. Wagner's running. I don't think he's got that deep of a coverage. The biggest problem with this play, though, more than the coverage, which looks to be blown to me, I'd say it looks like a blown coverage. It also is weird that Dallas has a bunch of receivers kind of not spaced out completely in the right way in the middle of the field. And CeeDee Lamb just runs right through the whole, you know, thing. But there's no pass rush at all. You know, against the Chargers, there were receivers open the entire game. And they found them in those first, you know, first couple quarters. And then even, you know, before the Sanristil interception at the goal line, it was easy pitch and catch to Keenan Allen. But what they did do in the Charger game against that, you know, banged up offensive line is they got pressure. They just didn't get enough pressure. Dak Prescott has plenty of time. I mean, he never even comes close to being touched, and it gives CeeDee Lamb all of this time to run right through what looks like the blown coverage into a space where, believe it or not, the ball is about to be caught, and then he's about to be nailed, but Sanristil and Quan Martin do their little thing that's gotten kind of cute to watch, where they run into each other. That play, I would love more of an explanation. I am convinced it's a blown coverage by Darnell Savage. I'm also convinced that if you're going to play the kinds of coverages, you better be sure that you can get home with four, because they've done it at times, but only against the teams that had major offensive line issues. And they didn't sniff Dak Prescott, not even close. It was Goldman, it was Newton, it was Miller, and I think it was Kinlaw who were the pass rushers. It may have been Sheldon Day, actually. May have been Sheldon Day who played in the game. And they got nothing. Nothing. I'll tell you what, man, it's hard to get anything if Kinlaw and Payne aren't on the field. All right, John Keim next.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.